Hello and welcome to the Manager Mojo Show. Steve Caldwell here, and we're so glad that you're here. We use our mojo to really become greater leaders. Now, let's get started by listening to something good. Oh, I feel good. I knew that. You ever get frustrated with not knowing what you don't know? I know I did whenever I was trying to learn how to be a great leader and a great manager. And it is a common problem. We all search for answers but don't know where to go. And you might try to Google it, but you know, there's so many opinions, you don't know whether or not anybody really knows what they're talking about. Well, because I know that's a problem, I wanted to place that leaders could go to learn from other great leaders. They could learn the techniques on how to motivate, coach their teams, and how they themselves could be productive and have a great career. And I created this at mojouniversity.com. So I want you to go to mojouniversity.com, sign up. All of the details are right there on the page, and I know that you're going to love it. I want to hear your thoughts after you do the trial and check it out. So please feel free to email me, steve@managermojo.com. We are committed to your success. That's mojouniversity.com. Oh, I feel good. I knew that. Hello and welcome everyone to the Manager Mojo Show. Steve Caldwell here, and I'm excited to introduce our special guest today. Our special guest is Mike Skripnik. Now, Mike is an accomplished three-time author and recognized as Canada's leading authority on guiding business and personal growth. He shows people how to get freedom for their lives and families and helping them give back to their community on the causes that matter most to them. He delivers motivating presentations and shares his grow, get, give philosophy with thousands of entrepreneurs, advisors, charity, and the millionaire business person next door. Now, through his guidance, he's helped entrepreneurs and affluent families redirect over $9 million to charitable causes since 2012 and plans to grow this to over $100 million in the next decade. And today, we're going to talk about some leadership lessons that he's learned along the way, along with grow, get, and give. So, Mike, welcome to the Manager Mojo Show.
Oh, thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate you having me on here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I know you do great work, and I can't wait to hear more about how you do that and to share it with our listeners today. But before we do, why don't you share with our listeners what fun thing that you've been up to lately outside of work?
You know what, Steve? We have two extreme kids. We have a 12 and a 15-year-old, and they happen to be into the downhill mountain biking scene. It's pretty fast, where you race breakneck speeds down mountains and fly over great big jumps. And I've been trying to help them connect with their sponsors and partners, and we've been working on a little team to get them going. So it's been really exciting. It's something out of the ordinary, and connects their passions and life kind of goals with a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Not to mention a lot of adrenaline.
That's awesome. I know that there's no lack of adrenaline in your household.
No, everyone's very busy.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Well, I'm not going to share their passion for downhill mountain biking. I even have trouble on level ground, so I'm just going to stick with what I do, and that's just the old pedestrian golf clubs. I'll stay with there.
That's great.
Mike, listen, thanks for joining us today, and I know you've done great work with Grow, Get, and Give, and if you will, why don't you share with the listeners a brief summary of what that really is? And then we'll talk about some of your leadership philosophies.
Of course. Over the years, you know, I've been expanding a business in the investment management world. It's evolved into the personal development and coaching world. And along the way, it's always been consistently about giving back. And a number of years ago, as I was beginning to expand my entrepreneur coaching and consulting families, I really kind of brought this all into one kind of saying, and that's that grow, get, give lifestyle. And, you know, my second and third books were about big impact giving and big growth and big impact. And what it really means is, I think deep down in, that people with a philanthropic heart, with a desire back, always make that extra step and take that initiative to do so. But what we've also learned over time is some people just don't know how to do it. And even more so when you're dealing with entrepreneurs who have a tremendous ability to make that impact happen, they tend to be so focused on developing, growing, and building business and making impact in that way that they sometimes forget that their personal values, their want to give back, can be connected and openly so with their clients, with their business initiatives, as well as their capital. And we show them how to do it all, you know, how to grow their business. So a passion for that developed of, you know, helping other families figure out how to redirect. We're up to $9.3 million in charitable giving. But it doesn't come without understanding how you can grow your wealth. And in business, it's growing the size of your business, your customers, your reach. Connecting that with getting more freedom, which is gives person a greater deal of, you know, personal satisfaction in that they can spend more time with their families and doing the things they love to do instead of worrying about their business all the time. And then lastly, how they can combine that passion to give back with their values, and maybe make it something that is part and parcel of their life, their business, and their legacy. So it's just been a tremendous journey, and it's just getting better and better.
Well, it's wonderful, and it's great work that you're doing. And I want to talk about some of the leadership things that you've learned along the way with Grow, Get, and Give. But and I'll start with just a theoretical statement that I have. It's my observation that a lot of us in business get so focused on the bottom line, so focused on making money, that we wind up segmenting ourselves and our lives. Is that a fair statement?
It's totally a fair statement. In fact, that's precisely what I did at the early part of my career in the investment management world. I mean, think about it. I was in, you know, in the 90s, greed is good is really the mantra that was living throughout the investment management world. And then try to reconcile that with a desire personally to give back. So I was living this work life where greed is good. And, you know, it was the Gordon Gekko school of stock markets, essentially. And then on the other side, I was living this community mindedness, volunteerism, and financial giving. Those don't jive very well. And in the last decade, I figured out a way to reconcile them and bring them into business. And I can do that with other people, and the people I coach, they get the same result. So yeah, it can be kind of challenging.
It absolutely is challenging. And I believe that one of the things that in order to begin to marry these two, I see some symptoms where maybe some people maybe are thinking, well, you know, I don't really have a problem with that, Steve. And, but I'll bet they do. And here's how. If you, just like in your example, you said you were living these two worlds where one, you're at work and greed is good and you're trying to make money and bring more to the bottom line. And then on the other side, you're trying to live a life where you're sharing with your family, you're giving, you're actually more a charitable person than you would be at work. And so there's this big gap between the two. And yet many leaders wind up never bridging any of that gap. And so they wake up one day and they can't figure out why all their people hate them. And I just want to ask you, do you see that yourself a lot of times? And if so, can maybe you give us an example or what people need to be thinking about?
I think the word that, you know, you use bridge, connection. Until I figured out and actually had the courage to share the values that were important to me at all levels throughout all parts of my life, including my business, I never had the connection with clients or customers, coworkers, or my family in as deep a and meaningful a way as I did after I figured out how to bring this together. So that is probably the most key part of it, is connection. And as a leader in business, connection with people matters. Connection is why we don't have those disconnects where people, you thought they liked you and they really never did. the people you worked with, you realize later that, oh, that guy always thought you weren't really as good as you were, and yet they didn't know you. So the communication was lost. And when you don't share your values, we'll get into it a little further, but when you don't share your passion and your purpose, your why and your what, and usually those are always built on values, people don't connect with you. And when they don't connect with you, you're as much as a commodity as anything you might be trying to market or sell.
No question in my mind. I know that I personally suffer that. I love your example about, well, you think they like you. There was one individual, I really thought this guy liked me a lot because he was always very friendly. And I mean, he was a top performer. He was always doing the things. And then later I realized, wait a minute, he really doesn't like me very much. And I finally began to understand that the reason that he didn't like me is because I never really made a personal connection where I actually not only told him, but I didn't convince him that I was as happy for his success as he was. But I didn't act it.
Oh, yeah.
And so there was this disconnection between the two of us. So I love the way you're using the word connection to people. But I know a lot of people just, man, they hate that idea of connection to people and sharing what they really believe. Why do you believe that it's so scary for people in business to open up and share what they really think?
Well, there's risk. And the risk. So I'll use my example. I wanted to bring my philanthropic intentions into my business. And let's say back in 2006, I was just dying to do that. But I had built a business that was predicated on a far different relationship. And that relationship with clients suddenly became a risk to me to share, and my coworkers to share who I really wanted to be or who I really was and allow it to come through. And the risk would be, number one, of financial loss. Mm-hmm. That was my fear, because I didn't have enough courage to realize that I would attract, and the confidence to realize I would attract more business as a result. The worry that I would somehow be viewed lesser in other people's eyes. Imagine that. For what you truly believe in and the values that you uphold the most, you somehow are worried that other people will think less of you. How is that even possible? You shouldn't even have that contemplation. If you're living a true life for yourself, then it doesn't really matter. Those who like it will be part of your life, and those who choose not to won't. So those fears of personal maybe ridicule or loss of status or esteem among your colleagues, financial loss is a very big one, because you have to also make up that gap. There is a gap between when you reveal who you are essentially and when you finally attract the people that will help you sustain your business, and in between there's going to be, just like in any transition, some challenges. But what I found is, when you came to the that truth, if you will, in a sense, when you came to that truth, the transition that you viewed would be so difficult and so hard and so painful was actually very, very easy, because you all of a sudden just say, well, this is who I am and what I stand for. And at every turn, if that's how you fall back on it, and the people that don't like it, don't fit, and aren't willing to participate, it becomes less and less of a concern as they drop away. Right?
That's
what
a beautiful
I thought
thing.
Would be a scary moment, right? I thought there'd be this emotional drama. But really it was one-sided. One party said, well, that's not really for me. And my side was, that's just fine. It's not for everybody. And it worked. And so it was a relief to know that it wasn't as painful and difficult as I was concerned that it might be.
Well, I appreciate you sharing your own personal story, because I think that all of us at various stages in our life, we begin to realize that, especially if you're really focused on business and growing your business and you are a business guy, you get so wrapped up in it. And it's really difficult sometimes. People talk about work-life balance. Well, if you're a real entrepreneur, a real leader, in your business world, frankly, there is no balance. It's all consuming.
That's correct. It's all one.
It's the same thing.
It is. And when I say grow, get, give lifestyle, that's precisely what I'm getting at, is you can grow the value of your business and your life at the same time. It's one and the same. If you're an entrepreneur or a business leader, you have no choice. That's what it is. There's no work-life balance as such, because it's all one. And it's good. It's good that it's all one. And getting more freedom is the way you put things to work, how you build processes and systems and people into your life that help you get that freedom. So you are working on and in the most creative zones as possible, and having that rest and rejuvenation time that you need. And the give back is natural. I mean, I think we all have a responsibility to our community or causes that matter, at least to us. And, on the side of it, as a businessman and a planner in a sense, I also like any way I can redirect tax dollars to the good, common good. I think that's a good thing. So,
well, I agree. I agree.
I'm always
100%.
Talking about how we pay less tax and give more to charity.
I totally agree with you. One of the things that I do find this idea of business, one of the theories that I've had over the years, I've watched a lot of young people come out of business schools all over the world, and they wind up trying to create two versions of themselves. They have a version that is the work guy that gets up in the morning and goes to work. And then they have the version that's their personal life version. And they quickly find when they get home that they can't leave the other guy at work.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, is that just me, or have you seen the same things?
Now I'm a generation X, so I will put a flag in the sand and say my peer group are exactly what you describe. I think the boomers ahead of us are even more so, but I certainly know that my generation has been trying to do precisely what you just explained. And those of us who realized it along the way, and the earlier the better, began to say that that's a facade. One way or the other, you're not being true. What I have observed, and as many frustrations I happen to have with the millennials or the Generation Y, if you will, the frustration drops off the table, because I think somehow in some major wisdom and all the stresses that are happening between these different generations, millennials or Generation Y, they get it. They have figured out, and it's driving other generations crazy, but they figured this out. They're true to themselves in all ways, shape, and form. And when you figure out how businesses are trying to behave and react towards these different type of schedules and the work environment and the flexibility and the lack of, long-term commitments to things, once you understand that they kind of have figured it out, and probably because their parents wished they could have done it younger, I think that's a great thing. I just happen to see it more and more in millennials. So unfortunately now I'm being recorded and, saying up with millennials, but boy, they've got something in that. That is one thing I've noticed, that they bring to the conversation all the time, is their lives and their work and how they go about it. They stay true to themselves very well. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, they
I didn't think
do.
I was going to go there with this conversation, but
Well,
we're there.
and the reality is they do that. Millennials are in fact doing that. They are in fact more concerned about their entire life, not just their work life. And so therefore they are bouncing from career to career because they're going to work and they're finding people that they view very quickly are not genuine. And that's the real problem whenever we're living two separate lives. We think people can't tell the difference, but it's obvious that people can tell the difference.
Absolutely. And so you've got the one scenario, and we're not talking about generations anymore, but one scenario, Steve, where you have that I'm one persona during the day during my work or business when I'm wearing that hat or suit or pantsuit, whatever. And then you have the home life and the weekend version, right? And they're different. But imagine living that and, wanting to be your home life person and then constantly working with customers or coworkers that you've created relationships predicated on something you'd rather not be all day long. And then compare that to someone who's living that value, your passion and purpose on your sleeve every day in all that you do. And imagine the people you draw into, the people who are attracted to working with you and being a customer of yours, right? Suddenly they become a partner in your bigger picture. And when you have that, you're happy to work every day, you're happy to interact every day, there's joy in relationships that you actually can build, and there's a joy in the work that you do. So, if maybe there was one thing of all the things I don't regret in my life, maybe it would be, I wish I figured that out 10 years earlier. That would have been just fantastic for life and business.
And unfortunately, life, in order for us sometimes to really get a lesson, we have to be taught a lesson. So, it's probably not such a bad thing the way it worked out because now you're helping a lot of people just like you are today.
You
And
bet.
th this is a great segue to okay, we've identified the problem, but one of the ways that you get past this, you mentioned earlier that it's incredibly important for you to discover your why and your what. Tell us a little bit more about what you mean by that. Let's start with why, if you don't mind.
I'll lean on my own. My experience does stem from, living in that greed is good in environment and then heading into what was one of the biggest financial crisis of the last 80 to 100 years in 2007 through 9. And for during the worst part of it, I'll share with you, I was doing a radio spot 5 times a day to update the Calgary and Alberta marketplace on how the markets were doing. So
Fun.
from Lehman Brothers, I was like the Grim Reaper. So 5 times a day, I got to tell everybody with a smile how terrible things really were. And during that period of time, it just wore me down, and I was always wondering, how am I going to find that why? Why do I show up every day? And beyond that, I made this commitment, and I wrote about it in my very first book, and that was I committed to give or redirect $1 million a year to charity. I thought, if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to have a major impact in the world around me. And I don't have the cash flow, but I'm going to help other people figure that out for themselves. So that became my why. It was, how do I impact the world in a bigger way, giving $1 million a year for the rest of my life to charitable causes? Right. And that became my passion for showing up. So every morning that was, I write down, I even had in 2012, I started keeping track. And, I made a note every time that number goes up, I make a note and we change it. Right. And so that became my why. How do I do that became my purpose. Right. So what is it need? What is needed for me to implement in my life? Who do I need to work with? What type of things do I need to do to make that happen? Who do I need to inspire and motivate? All those things became very, very clear once I understood why I showed up every day, right? Why the I woke up with meaning every day. So That's such a, Simon Sinek wrote about it, and I read that book only recently. It's amazing. I've been living it for so long. And
I love his book, by the way. I read it right after he released it. I thought it was, it's a brilliant work.
Yeah, and I used the Cold Notes version of it to begin with, the simple version. And then I finally got to reading the whole thing last year. And I was kicking myself for never having done it, but I had always lived in the exact premise discussed. And quite frankly, it does start with why. But why is merely a starting point.
There you go.
The what becomes the implementation, you know. If you're part of something bigger, what is your role? How do you go about it, and who do you invite in, and what are their roles? So it just, without the why, you don't get to it. But if you just lean on why, I mean, passion's great, but boy, you can sure starve if you're only passionate.
Absolutely, you can. And I think that many business people, they tend to stay away from these conversations at times because they really can't figure out how to move from a position of motivation and why they're doing things to developing their plan. And that's one of those problems that you have, and you have it with your leadership team, you have it with the people that work for you, you have it with the people you hire. And then it's almost like, In my view, it's almost like reverse engineering. When you understand where you are and or where you would really want to be, you're standing there and you look back, you know what? It's a lot easier to figure out how to get there.
Oh, it sure is. It sure is. And you can't do it. And the other thing you need, besides having that introspection retroactively.
Yeah, I love it. We're really getting crazy here. I love it.
Yeah. You also need, it's like being in the forest, right? When you're really deep in the forest, you have no idea the depth and breadth of the forest. But if you had someone on the other side of the forest with a bird's eye view, you know, on a walkie-talkie giving you, you know, instructions on how to navigate through it, boy, it would be so much easier and quicker to do. And that's what I relied on. One of the biggest influences for me is that I went deep into reading and to coaching. Mm-hmm. And for not only do I coach now, but I leaned heavily on a variety of coaches and mentors to get me that kind of objective opinion. Once I had said, this is where I want to be and this is who I am, there are other people who've trod that road before. And they were very helpful in clearing out probably a lot of time, energy, and missteps for me.
Isn't it interesting at how people that are committed to coaching other people are also committed to being coached?
No question.
I mean, and I find it one of the in Steve's view of the world, and I've got, there's a lot of empirical evidence to support my statement here, but the reality is that ineffective leaders are actually people that resist the idea of coaching. And they don't want to do it because they have not figured out how to be real like what you have talked about today. It's really difficult, isn't it, to coach other people when you don't really know who you are.
Sure it
is.
It's
funny,
that
you're
lead,
alive.
You need, yeah, to lead, you need to follow. Mm-hmm. You need to be a good follower, you know. I think that's a degree of humility that is required in that process, that I also think striving to continually improve, you know, how can you be expected to lead if all you have is a static knowledge set? You know, at no time at all will people surpass your knowledge set. And so if you think about the leaders who don't do that, well, they don't lead the pack for very long. And then we go back all the way to the beginning of our conversation where they have those people that they thought that liked them, but they never liked them. And the reason is because they realized that their leader had a finite set of things to give them, and there was no more to be gained.
Absolutely.
And so they just turn off. So it's imperative for quality leadership to constantly be striving for more and more knowledge, which you can then share.
I love it. I love it. And by the way, thank you for the plug on my book just a minute ago. You didn't know it. But when I wrote Manager Mojo, the subtitle is Be the Leader Others Want to Follow. So,
Awesome. Awesome.
So,
I love it.
I appreciate you saying that. So, but you know, this is a great conversation, but what I want to do now, Mike, is that I want you to just share what would you consider to be two or three benefits for committing yourself to go through this journey of grow, get, and give? What would be the top two or three benefits?
Number one, as we all are in entrepreneurs, in growing our business, removing barriers you didn't know existed and expediting success is a real key part of that.
Cool.
Getting more freedom, understanding that working less will not only help you learn more, but gain more. And our community responsibility to give back actually can be part of how we attract coworkers, people, and friends, as well as customers in our lives. So, you know, I would say that those are the real fundamental benefits of being, you know, adapting a grow, get, give lifestyle.
That is awesome. And every one of us can benefit from those. Mike, I know people that are listening are going to want to connect with you. Why don't you share with them the best ways that they can connect with you to learn more about this great work that you do?
Absolutely. So, Steve, they can find me at mikeskripnik.com. That's www.mikeskripnik.com. Or they can also go to our coaching and mastermind training site, which is Big Growth, Big Impact Summit.com. Either place, they'll find more about me. I can find me on LinkedIn. And if they just wanted to email me, simply info@mikeskripnik.com, and I'll respond. They'll be surprised.
That's awesome. And for those of you that are exercising right now, we'll put links in the post to make it really convenient for you to connect with Mike. And I hope you will. Mike, what would be the one or two things that you want to say to listeners today to encourage them to take that next step? What would that be in summary?
Well, I would suggest that they reach out to me. I mean, that's a great one. But really, it's come to terms with the fact that coaches matter in your life, and those that share your values will want to continue to be a part of your life. So coaches matter in guiding you through the grow, get, give, for example. And when you share your values with others, you end up attracting people you want to work with, be with, and have relationships with.
Well said, my friend. Mike, thank you very much for those words. And our guest today, Mike Skripnik. And Mike, you've been a great contributor today. I think you've encouraged all of us to really get real with ourselves, and I appreciate it. And we at Manager Mojo wish you continued success in this great work that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Steve. It was a pleasure spending time with you today.
Thank you for joining me today. And if you've enjoyed this, I hope you'll take a few minutes, leave us a review on iTunes. I appreciate any and all comments that you have, and I look forward to you joining us next time.